We're going to start off the e-brokerage sector with E*TRADE. The CEO, Carl Rossner. Carl's been the CEO since September of 2016, and he's an E*TRADE veteran of 10 years. We're pleased to have Carl and he's truly navigated the firm and sort of resurrected it over the last three years with the new strategy.
Power of resurrection. I've never been said that one before, but I appreciate it.
We're going to do something I think we've done in the past. We haven't done it every year. It's a fun fact. If you don't know Carl, I think I mentioned this last year, but Carl in college was involved in mixed martial arts. I always thought he was very control. I guess he's still control, but more I didn't think he was an aggressive person like that. Carl was involved with mixed martial arts. His son is also now he's transformed from a mixed martial art practitioner to a baseball dad because his son is a rising star in amateur baseball right now.
No, I appreciate it. He's a sophomore in high school. They just won the New York State Independent School title. As a sophomore collegiate here in Manhattan, so very proud of that moment. I have a 12-year-old too. We always only talk about the 16-year-old, so I get a little concerned that he's going to feel left out. I do have a 12-year-old as well. He's a baseballer, and he plays piano. Just to differentiate him from his older brother a little bit. Mixed martial arts, yeah, a lot of control. It's actually about not fighting, Rich, but knowing when to pick your battles. Surviving five CEOs before I became CEO, I think I was able to use that skill to survive. There I am.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
Impressive.
Thank you.
This year, the theme of this conference is about growth. That's the focus, and I think every company and every CEO will have, I think, gets a little bit more excited talking about growth rather than different administrative or how you're going to cut expenses, which is important too. I'd start off, Carl, by just asking you've outlined, especially with the sort of the revised strategy, the 2023 plan, but you've outlined some areas of growth. I'd say, to begin with, what areas get you most excited about that will propel E*TRADE, not only just get to these numbers, but to be successful overall?
It's great, and it's a great topic for us and having the conference centered around growth because at E*TRADE, we've been extremely focused on growth. It's a story that our board is very used to. Our board has challenged us to continue to grow the firm and continue to demonstrate what we have over the past few years, and that's really to keep the growth engine running. When we think about growth, Rich, it really comes from two areas. One is on the retail side, and the other is on the institutional channels. With respect to retail, what we've really done over the past few years is reinvigorate the growth, reinvigorate what we've done on the derivative trading side on our active trading core. At our core, E*TRADE will always be a retail brokerage and very strongly invested in giving our retail brokerage customers the best tools, products, and services that we possibly can to help them deal with their finances. Continuing to expand that leadership position on the active trader side is something we're deeply invested in, and we expect to continue at the paces of growth that we have. On the retail side as well, you've seen us make a real move into managed product and managed accounts, and then more focus on our digital wealth offering across the whole spectrum of products that we've been able to roll out and curate. Also getting into, or back into, I should say, since we've always had a bank, into the transactional retail banking side. That's sort of the core growth engine. When we think about what will allow us to accelerate that growth and really take it forward over our historical rates, it's on the institutional side of the house. Continuing to dominate in the corporate services channel and our leadership position that we have with respect to that asset, continuing to onboard additional corporate clients, onboard assets, and use that as the retail feeder channel that it does very well for us. Getting into our TCA, or what we now have as E*TRADE Advisor Services, being able to provide the access to RIAs, having a custody platform that we can draw more RIAs to because of their desire to be on an unconflicted, highly sort of technology-forward platform with the great service that's behind that platform. and most importantly, building out the referral network that we've talked a lot about, that we're still in the process of taking advantage of and getting into place. There are a lot of RIAs who are interested in getting onto that platform because we've never had that access before. And to us, we look at it as filling a gap that we had in our offering for a higher touch service with respect to the access to advisors for both our corporate services-based retail clients and our retail brokerage. So those are the areas that we're heavily focused on, we're driving toward, and we see lots of potential for growth opportunity.
So as long as you brought up the advisors, I see how that connects with more than just TCA. It connects with the corporate stock plan business. I believe you'll get this advisor referral program up and running in the second half of the year.
So with respect to advisor, what we found is in getting that platform, the front end is called Liberty, so the Liberty platform, getting it integrated and seamlessly working within the E-Trade ecosystem to have as few speed bumps and roadblocks that you can have for the customers of E-Trade who are becoming RIA, or clients of an RIA. To make that as seamless as possible, we need to go through an integration on that topic. So we've been very deliberate in terms of taking that integration, teaching our FC force how to help refer into RIAs, onboarding the right RIAs, going through extensive due diligence. So we've been very deliberate. We've limited the flow by design to make sure that we're not going to harm our greatest asset, which are our customers. Because right? When you're referring out to an RIA, you're handing that very valued customer off, so you need to really know those folks well, and that interaction needs to be seamless. So it's going to be a slow build. You're not going to see a lot of results in the short term, but over the next few quarters, as we continue to roll that out and complete the integration, that's when you'll start to see some of the results come through. But very pleased with the early response, being able to, you know, onboard and get commitments from, you know, nationally known sort of branches like Edelman Financial Engines and Mercer, and having some of the other top quality RIAs really be interested in getting access to that referral network. It's shown us that we've done the right thing. Now we need to make sure that we roll it out the right way.
So on the RIA network, like, it seems like you have some you have something to offer them as well, whether it be through the corporate stock plan business, some potentially high net worth type clients. So I guess the question is, you have Edelman. Where do you think overall, maybe not, you know, you've definitely given a reasonable or control the expectations,
yep.
But if you look at, you know, at the 2023 or 3 to 5 years from now, will the advisor, where would you hope to be with the advisor sort of channel?
So our hope with respect to the advisor channel is actually to serve our retail customer base as well as we can, right? When we started this initiative and when we went out and acquired TCA, it wasn't necessarily about trying to scale up that platform. It was about trying to fill a void that we had where we were watching, in particular, corporate services, retail-driven accounts leave us for higher-touch financial services, right? So having that ability to retain, maintain, and grow those accounts from the corporate services channel, as well as our retail-based clients who get to a point in dealing with their own finances where they say, we need some additional personal touch. I want some help in terms of managing my assets now. I want, you know, somebody to help me advise these. Those would just leave E-Trade. So keeping those assets with us, building and fostering that relationship, what we've seen even on the, you know, some of the initial successes that we've had is you garner more assets when you get in that type of relationship. It's a stickier client base when you can provide them that more fulsome service. So that's really the, you know, the initial goal on that. In terms of growth, I see the RIA channel and our institutional channels as a very large engine for E-Trade going forward.
I think even the critics would say you reignited the retail metrics over the 3-year period. The advisor network proves to, you know, could prove to be. We bring a lot more stability, a lot more recurring revenue. No problem. But you did mention the corporate stock plan business a couple. And I guess I don't know, what do you call it, when people copy it, it may be the best form of flattery, I guess, but you had Morgan Stanley acquiring a firm, one of the, I guess, the software providers in the firm, in that space, the corporate stock plan business in Solium, and then you had Ameritrade with a partnership with Certain. So it seemed like people did take notice of your corporate stock plan business and that it may be a feeder to retail. So I guess, you know, could you talk about, you know, when this happened, what was your reaction as other people got involved in the space? And then how much of a driver of growth is this by itself? I know advisors are going to help you, but yeah, just the corporate stock plan business.
So it's been a huge win for us. We've invested in this business for at least the 10 years that I've been at the firm, right, making sure that the platform that corporate services employees called Equity Edge Online is the leading one in the space, and it has been for the past 7 years as judged by outside third parties. We've only started to really shine a light on this business over the last, you know, 2+ years to really help all of our, you know, investors and the folks who watch E-Trade understand just how much of a growth engine this business can be. And we've had enormous success. So I expect that, you know, that success will continue. I have some personal sort of experience and anecdotes around this because we just had our big directions conference in Palm Springs. We had over 650 plan participant companies as well as prospects come to that conference. And as I walk around and talk to those, you know, the heads of HR, the folks who run the comp plans for these big companies, they love our software, they love our service, the implementation teams, the way that our technology teams interact with their own company teams to make their jobs and their lives easier. I watch our existing clients actually help us sell and close on prospects because they love the brand, they love what they can do in terms of the functionality, and they love the fact that our high-touch service model is behind it and backing it. And we've iterated that software and what we're able to deliver through listening to our clients and our customer base. So we have a client advisory board that's some of our biggest clients that are on that platform, and they'll talk to us about what they like, what they want to see more of, what they'd like to see less of, new reporting requirements, how can you integrate it better into our own financial reporting systems, what new tax laws are coming down. And we make those changes, and every year at Directions, we talk about what we've changed and what we've heard, so what we'll take forward. So it's been a, you know, a really great experience for us to really learn from that customer base and drive, you know, and drive forward. It's, we do very well in terms of the model on just the revenue from the licensing side of the business for the software, and also in that first trade that comes through the pipeline. But the real value in this and the real growth engine for this, if you keep those corporate clients happy as we have and you continue the retention rates that we have, they continue to onboard on an evergreen basis all of those restricted stock awards and the options that come through the channel, and they add employees, and that base continues to grow over time. So in terms of net assets, assets coming on the platform, and the opportunity for new retail clients, it's enormous. And so you talk about, you know, others getting into the space or looking at this space, well, sure, but we're in a leadership position. We're going to continue to invest in that space. I think, as you said, it's proof to me whenever I read these articles and I hear institutions a lot larger than ours with a lot more firepower coming on board saying, this is what we're going to do. It's been our model for years. There's a reason that we're the leader. We invest in that platform. We invest in the service behind it. And I do believe that we're the only company out there who can actually service the corporate client as well as we do, and then the entirety of the employee base as well as we do. We don't just look at the top slice of the house in terms of the client base. We want all of those employees to be E-Trade retail brokerage customers. So that's been the story. It's been a winner for us. We'll continue to invest in it and extremely excited about prospects for that business.
One last question on the business. We've had some unique market.
You know I can talk about this business all day, so it's fine.
It's important to you picked a, you know, like I said, other people are copying it, so I can see why you were excited about it. We've had some unique market conditions at the end of last year, a big drop-off in the market, and you've talked about the sort of the concentration being in tech and, you know, more, let's call tech-driven firms that you oversee. You've seen a market go up dramatically in the beginning of the year, and then now over the last month, pull back. So I guess the question is, what has that taught you about your corporate stock plan? Because we obviously can see the assets, you know, have the market impact, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's an impact, you know, to revenue. So what did you learn with the ups and downs in the market over the last 3 to 4 months, 5 months, about the corporate stock plan?
Well, a couple of things. So the first thing that, you know, that we've learned as an organization is the most important thing we can do with our stock plan administration business is keep the corporate client happy, satisfied, comfortable with the software and the solution, and make sure that you're serving their needs every day. Because markets are going to be volatile, employees are going to deal with swings in their stock up and down, particularly, you know, of late. So you're going to see that the asset opportunity level, if you will, the one that we talk about, how many assets are in the pipeline or what the size of that is, that'll swing up and down. But keeping that corporate client in a place where they are a committed E*TRADE customer and they're satisfied with everything you're doing is one of the most important things we can do. On the other side of that, it's making sure that the employee base has the tools, the functionality, the products and services necessary to deal with those periods of volatility. They may be, you know, all in on their company stock. They may want to step out of that. So make sure that they have, you know, a premium savings account where they can use or leave their money for a period of time to wait out some of the volatility. Right? Think about the product sets that you have. Make it as easy as you can for them to work their way through your digital wealth offering, because they may not want to be, you know, all invested in one security at that point in time, particularly with the current marketplace. So give them the options and make their lives easier. Educate them on what you can provide through our retail brokerage and make them longer-term E*TRADE customers. So it's serving both sides of that equation that it's really important. You can't take your eye off the corporate client, but you need to be there to serve the employee base as well, and I think at E*TRADE we do that very well.
You mentioned this premium savings product. It's a perfect segue. So you sort of revived a banking product, but you've had strong results. Could you just review the offering? And you've talked about now a refocus or a return to focus on more banking products. You know, are there other things like the premium savings product that you can create and give you similar results that you've had with premium savings?
So the premium savings account, for those who, you know, aren't aware, we rolled it out in a somewhat limited fashion during 2018, and that was primarily for our stock plan administration customers, the clients that come to us through that channel, as I talked about a little bit earlier, to make sure that we had the option available for those individuals, even if it was just a period where they were trying to decide what to do with their cash. Why would you ever give anyone, when we are an online bank, when we have the functionality and the capability, why would you ever give that individual the desire or the need to go out to another financial institution to help them manage their cash? So it was kind of a no-brainer for us in terms of a product to launch through the bank. It's been extremely successful. We've taken on about $4 billion in assets. A good chunk of that has come through the corporate services channel. So we know that there is a there in terms of, you know, working with our corporate clients to make sure their employees have access to this. And to me, it's been a, you know, a huge win to have those assets stay with us when, in pretty much every case across the board, if there was some kind of rate-seeking behavior, that money was going to leave us. Right? So I'd rather retain and maintain those assets with E*TRADE and keep that relationship while those individuals are trying to determine what to do with their cash in these types of markets. So premium savings has been a great product. In terms of overall banking is about relationships, right? We are an online bank. We hid the bank for a very long period of time because earlier on in our journey as a company, we didn't do so well in some of the investments we took on through the bank, and it almost took us down. So reinvigorating the bank, it's not so much about getting into lending or getting into, you know, other products. It's just not a core competency for us. But having those transactional banking functions available, you know, having a good bill pay, a good deposit product, checking account, savings account, a premium savings account that you can make available to your, you know, to your customer base, and having that in a way for the digitally centric customer, on the retail side who does that with us, it creates a lot better opportunity. Retail brokerage customers who have banking relationships with us are a lot more likely to leave and bring more assets to us. They don't attrite as much, so they're not going to leave you. And they're increasing in the number of transactions that they do. So they're some of our best customers. So having that functionality, Rich, is extremely important to us because we think it's important to our customers. Some of the areas we need some improvement in that you'll see us working on in terms of our growth initiatives that I mentioned earlier are really around payments, money movement, or making sure that we have that functionality tied in to the retail brokerage customer so they have that bank account that they can really use as a day-to-day account. And then in terms of other products, we've launched our E*TRADE line of credit, the securities-based lending product, which is non-purpose lending that's based on or backed by the securities that are in your brokerage account. So that's another product that we believe will be very valuable for our customers going forward, particularly the corporate service-engaged retail customer as well as the advisor network. So, you know, lots of things we intend to do with the bank, but again, on the transactional banking side.
Did you see the fire is still burning? That is the longest 16-year burning log that I have in that fire.
I think it's great. Yeah, it's great.
More seriously, you said part of the success of the premium savings product comes from the corporate stock plan business. I'm envisioning someone gets vested stock or divests, and now they choose to trade out of it and have cash. I guess the question is, I don't say it's going to move the needle dramatically, but is this starting to attack the 15% retention of assets over a year time frame when people do are able to get access to their
one of the greatest areas that we have in terms of opportunity are the clients, the assets, and the relationships that come to us through the stock plan channel. Right? That's what we've talked about. It's why we focused on this business. It's one of the best feeder channels that we can foresee in terms of differentiating us from our competitors, but also providing a real service to those employees in those plans. So yeah, there's a holistic approach that we are taking to driving additional account, you know, aggregation, being able to pull more of the assets in from those employees in the stock plan business, looking at it not only in terms of premium savings, but having that whole digital wealth offering, having the ability to have a higher touch service through our referral network on the RIA side, offering for those self-directed investors, the folks who really want to sort of get into a pre-built portfolio that we offer, that in just a few clicks based on your risk tolerance, you can build your own portfolio of securities and have that go forward, or getting into a managed product solution. That's for all of those individuals who are not a self-directed trader, right, who aren't going to use a core retail brokerage account, but really having that more fulsome offering from when they still have restricted stock in their account that they know that E*TRADE is there for them. So yes, premium savings is a part of that, but we have a lot more going on in terms of looking at how we can help those employees become more engaged with E*TRADE and how we can help them more with their finances.
Okay. The market has really, forget about the last 6 months, talk about the last month, where the yield curve goes inverted. It certainly was a longer period, but the outlook for Fed rate hikes, you know, over the last, I think, 3 or 4 months has completely flip-flopped as well. So I got two questions, but the first part of the question is, you know, how are market, any of the market conditions that we've seen, you know, more recently, whether it's from trade or has that impacted your thoughts on, you know, goals, to attain your goals over the longer term? Do you see this as just really a blip and totally cyclical, or did it cause you to step back and say, at least to look at alternative plans to say, if it got worse, you know, we could do A or B or C?
Yeah, so as a, you know, as a management team and, you know, supported by our board, we came out with a 5-year plan on that, and what Rich is referring to is obviously the, you know, the, I think the key one for all is sort of the in excess of $7 a share by 2023 in EPS. Still, you know, comfortable with where we are on the spectrum. When we put together that plan, we looked at a lot of different economic conditions, and you know, one of the assumptions was basically the forward curve, which showed zero interest rate hikes almost during the entire period for the 5 years. So still comfortable with the guidance that, you know, that we've given out there. Markets are going to swing. Things are going to change. I mean, we've lived in a fantastic environment for the past number of years. Well, I think a lot of people forget that you do go through cycles, and that there are ups and downs, and there are lots of challenges. I think we face more challenges today than we have, you know, in the past, just in terms of the number of variables at play, in terms of, you know, trade, political, economic, just socioeconomic, whatever you want to take a look at. Those are all weighing on, you know, markets, and we're seeing some, you know, absolute swings that are unlike we've seen in the past, you know, 6, 8, 10 years. So it's, you know, it's been interesting, but I think we have a model that has performed well in almost every environment. Right? And we talked about when we, you know, announced this when we came out, if rates were to go, you know, negative or low for long or smother, then we'd be in a different situation. But comfortable with where we are. We have a lot of levers that we can pull. We look at everything through the same operating margin framework that we have. So we have a lot of levers that we can pull in the plan. And, you know, just keep in mind, Rich, we talk about hitting that 7-plus in EPS. This management team, this board, is about delivering value for our shareholders, and we're going to continue to drive at that. And if there are decisions that we need to make that say, okay, you may need to do something different here, or you may need to spend this kind of, you know, dollars in order to drive additional return for your shareholders, we'll make that decision when the time comes. Right, but we haven't made that yet. We're not in that situation, and comfortable with the model that we run.
I think I just eliminated the first question in the next 8 meetings with investors.
No, I'll still get it.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. We're getting close on time, but I guess this is how fast it goes these days. You've had some management changes. You know, Mike Pizzi is now the COO. You got a new CFO, and you also brought in a new chief admin officer as well. So I guess, how does the management changes now, I'm going, this brings us right back to the theme, you know, of growth. So how did the management changes position you better to grow E-Trade? Why did you do E-Trade?
As we started the 30 minutes, Rich, it's all about growth. It's all about growth. So these management changes were actually to align the firm and the organization with the growth that we've laid out in terms of where we think we can go in retail and where we think we can go on the institutional side with our corporate services business and our advisor services business and the advisor network. So first and foremost, Mike Curcio, who was, you know, a large part of the drive behind reestablishing ourselves as the active trader home and working with our brokerage to really reinvigorate growth. He did a phenomenal job of that, so handing him the keys to the institutional businesses and having him continue to run corporate services, but also be the guy who is focused on and driving that advisor services network for us, I think was sort of a no-brainer, right? Having bench strength like Mike, who can step in and run that business quite easily and will be successful at it, is, you know, a great option. Alice Milligan joins us from Citi. She has a very heavy focus on digital, deep financial services background. When we looked at the growth in the retail side and what we needed to do to get in front of our stock plan customers and the remainder of our retail base to really drive more engagement, it's about the digital offering across the spectrum, making sure that that is a pristine customer experience from start to finish. Alice is well suited to help us drive that, having the digital experience, product, and marketing to really package and invigorate the rest of that retail space go forward. And then, you know, Mike Pizzi is Mike Pizzi. He's run a lot of different roles in the organization. And when we look at operating leverage, when we look at the operating margin framework, having Mike run operations and technology, which are both hugely important to our growth goals, makes a lot of sense. So I think we're in a great position to, you know, reinvigorate and continue to grow the firm and really build out the institutional channels.
I think we could go on and talk for another 15 minutes about it. We're going to call it speed talks about growth is what we're having today. But we are out of time.
Great.
I want to thank you and appreciate all the time you spend here meeting with investors.
Thanks for the time, Rich.
Good luck to the 12-year-old.
Thank you very much.
All for him.
Thank you.